that I have a measurement. I have a proportion. He have duly proportioned. He have give a measurement. This is why it's not good. And I, now I do read something.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
It is 8:30. You've been tuned in to KBOO Portland. This has been Islamic Point of View with your host Cameron. And today's speaker was Sheikh Imam Muhammad Najib. We ask you to feel free to tune in now for Pathways with Tom Park.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Divination Foundation, offering the enlightened decision-making system to help people and organizations make the right moves at the right time. More information at www.divination.com. That's divination.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Pathways. Thank you for joining us today. Today, my guest is the creator and founder of Core Essence. Folks, this is a whole technology of incredible self-improvement work, self-help work. We're going to go into it in great detail today. First, Sandy, tell us a little bit about your early journey. You founded and created Core Essence, but what brought you to that? I know you've been a counselor, you've been a therapist, but you've gone through some different hats on the way to what you do nowadays.
Thank you, Tom. It's nice to be here. Thank you for having me. Core Essence actually came out of a life experience that I had many years ago with my son. My son was terminally ill with cancer. And before he passed, he had had three out-of-body experiences, which are quite normal today to hear about. But this was in 1983. And in 1983, no one was really talking about them. But the profound effect it had on me is it changed everything I had believed about my life and what life was about at that point. He had had some pretty powerful experiences and could verbalize very clear to me what they were about. And the main message he said was, there's nothing except love. And that everything else that we believed in was the illusion. And the second thing he said is that there was no such thing as death. So being born a Christian, I was challenged very quickly. And I believed his story. There was so much love and he shared me. All I could do was cry with joy of hearing this truth. But I did remember whispering in his ear to please not tell his grandmother. Because this challenged everything that I was taught, everything that we were told to believe in. And I didn't quite understand what it all meant, but I knew it was a gift for me to hear.
So, folks, what I want to convey is, because you haven't met Sandy yet, Sandy is a powerhouse life changer, okay? Now, she comes from the tradition of Dr. Kubler-Ross. Some of you folks know those type of facilitators from long ago, where people go and spend time with them, people do intensives with them, and they go way into the depths of their soul and their being, and they experience fundamental change in themselves that results in big changes in their lives. So from what I've grasped about Sandy Kuhlman so far is that that's what she's about. Sandy, I want to try and invite you to convey some of these pieces to people. The main tool, the main course that you lay out for people these days is called what?
28 Days to Open Your Heart. It's a program I decided to create because I have clients from around the world that I phone conference with, but there's only so many hours in the day, and I knew that this needed to be reached with many more people. And so it's just been a year this month since we launched our first challenge of 28 Days to Open Your Heart, Growing Yourself in Love. And I've done this through the Core Essence Institute, which I founded in the year 2002.
Quite a while ago.
Yes.
All right. So no doubt this has evolved. It's been quite a few years. You've been growing this. You've been maturing this. So, Sandy, this concept of being rather than doing, that's been a big concept in self-improvement circles for many, many years, decades and decades. I know it's very prevalent and very key in your work. How would you say that the being and doing dichotomy plays into about how you help people?
That's a very good question. You know, I went through my own experience that in order to feel okay or to see that I had any type of worthiness, I had to be doing something in order to try to achieve that. And what I found is after 30 years of literally chasing my tail, I was exhausted. And what I realized is I would never be able to do enough so I could feel like I was okay. And so it was actually through a few years of basically sitting on the couch and sitting with my uncomfortableness of doing nothing. It was an interesting stage. I joke about this a lot in my talks and my workshops, and I love to hear my clients when they text me and said, still sitting on the couch. What that means is that they're willing to sit in their uncomfort zone to work through and be able to start listening at a deeper level of actually what they should start being in their life versus doing.
Okay, you have one real key thing in your work. It's about the greater power and people recognizing that there's a greater power playing in our lives. Would you give me that concept? I want to get a few key concepts here, then we'll go on to more depth.
This is actually a really good one. As a child, I kind of hopped from church to church. I was a seeker at a very young age. And I kind of landed in the Mormon church for the longest because they had primary, and I loved the kids' activities. But one day I was sitting in a service, and all of a sudden it didn't feel like truth to me. I'm not saying anything against the Mormon church. I love them. I have many friends. But for me, I walked out and went, oh, no, I have to keep looking. So when I had children, I made sure that they weren't raised with any concepts of Jesus or religion. I wanted them to be able to figure out what their truth was.
Wow, how unusual.
It's very interesting. When my son had his first out-of-body experience, he asked me to pick him up and hold him and sing to him, Jesus Loves Me. And I was thinking, who taught him this song? I've tried to save him from this. But now that I realize, it was actually God speaking to me, because that song was very soothing to me as a little child. I always believed in something greater. I just didn't know how to frame it or fit in a box that fit for me like it did for everyone else. So the first thing I ask my clients when they meet me is, do they believe in something greater than themselves? And about 90% do, and the 10% that don't, I ask them if they would be open and willing that there might be a possibility that there's something greater than themselves. And of course, they're very open to say yes, I would be open to that. But when I ask my clients to describe what that means to them, it's all love and joy, unlimited wisdom, light, knowing, and eternity. I mean, the names, we collected the labels for years and years of what it meant to them. And then I asked them, well, do they see themselves as a part of this energy? And the answer, pretty much 98% of the time, was yes. And so I said, well, even so, if you're the same as that energy, or even an aspect, therefore, would you not be the same? And what I get is a lot of tears and yes. And then what I point out to them is, the story that you're trying to convince me about who you are right now, how could that be true if this is who you are? So that's kind of just breaking open their awareness a little bit, that who they think they are and who they might really be might be two different things.
So your work really hinges on a greater power. That's like present throughout your work.
Well, here's the deal. You're never going to solve the problem with the same mind that created it. So my experience has been, how I solve the issues in my life is to rise above, literally. If this is our mind, and we're trying to, this is what's created it, and we're in the same space trying to resolve it. How does that happen? So I almost like to see people rise above and sit with in the energy field of that higher power, whatever is them, and then look back And every time, they will have a different perspective of what they're looking at.
It's a very functional way to go about this.
Yeah, I think so. It's worked.
Sandy, one thing in my life and all my associates' lives, it's so prevalent, it's so powerfully universal in what shuts us down, in what shuts our hearts, in what disables our expressive wonderfulness. It's this unworthiness feelings.
Absolutely.
Unworthiness. I'm thinking maybe we can spend some real time. I know it's very big in what you do for people, dealing
yes.
with this unworthiness. First, define unworthiness for me in really the more profound way.
Well, I'd like to just step back for one moment.
Okay.
Our core misperception that we have about ourselves is that we're not okay. And it's from that belief system that most of us don't even know we actively have going on within us that feeds the unworthiness. If you are not okay at the core of who you are, then what could you be worthy of? And it's interesting, we're not always consciously aware that we're not unworthy, but we are aware that we're seeking to be better, look better, have more. We know we're chasing happiness. We know we want the perfect relationship.
All the judgments for and against.
Absolutely. They're all in mixing that. And it's interesting, then we fail, and then we use it against us and confirm our unworthiness. So it's a no-win. We lose.
This is a big bummer, Sandy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hopefully have... My goal in life is to show people how it can be a win-win.
Okay, so here we are. People come to you. Mm-hmm. Unworthiness is so prevalent. You know
yes.
you got that to work with, right?
Right.
Okay. So can you address that any, and even in this kind of more superficial context? I know we're not in a deep session, but is
right.
there a way you can convey some of this?
I can convey that. Again, that's a good question. And it's really hard to break down into words. It's subtle sometimes, and sometimes it's not so subtle. If we've got a core misperception, a belief that's running actively 24/7, what comes with that is a lot of thoughts. I mean, I always tell people, when you wake up in the morning, pay attention to the first thoughts you have in the morning, because that's set in the context of the day. And it's usually negative. It's like, ugh, I don't feel good. Ugh, I don't want to go to work. I'm tired. Whatever people, I mean, we could go down the whole list thing. But the thing is where does that come from? And where that comes from is not seeing ourselves as okay. So when we get into the unworthiness, how we know our unworthiness is stimulated is we are constantly either in a state of depression or we're driven to go out ourselves and do more and more and more. It's like a hole within us that we're trying to fill.
Sandy, to me it's like the color in the glass of water. Once the water's colored, how do you have water without the color? That's what it seems pervasive. It's so pervasive.
Absolutely. In fact, actually, that's a really great example. You know, one of the examples I use is we have these glasses on and they're discolored. The lens are not clear. So we're looking through the discolored
exactly.
water and we're perceiving that what we're seeing is correct.
Right.
So that's a very good example.
Okay. So everybody listening today resonates with what we're talking about here, okay? And this drive to succeed and to fill the hole. I mean, realistically, okay, tell me really, Sandy, can a lot of people really climb out of this hole? Can a lot of people heal beyond this?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that really motivated us to write 28 Days was the thing that, okay, awareness is the first step. You can't change anything that you can't acknowledge. So one thing that I do with clients right away is bring awareness that they're not aware of. They're feeling it, they're experiencing their life, but they're not quite aware what it is. I always go, it. I mean, clients are always using the word it, and I'm always like, it is you. That's what we're talking about here. So there's that. The next piece is helping them understand. And then the next step would be on learning what one has learned. See, we're so thinking that we have to learn something new.
Yes.
What if we don't?
Yes.
What if it's about on learning?
How radical.
Do you see? And then the integration. And a lot of the work... People go, you know, well, what's different than what you do? And it's like, look, there's a lot of material out there. There's good stuff out there.
Lots of good stuff.
Truth comes in many forms.
Yes.
But the thing is even when people have that, what stops them from changing? They don't. Once you remove the identity that they're unworthy, they're not okay, they're not their jobs, they're not their failures, you know, then who are they? In fact, that was what the interesting thing working as a counselor was, me trying to remove their stories. I mean, they were clinging to dear life. No, 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 this is who I am, and you need to confirm it, and I need to be in therapy for 10 years. It's like, but it's not who you are. You're not your story. Your story is actually what's taking you away from who you are.
Okay, you got to tell me what story means in this context. Sorry, but what do you mean when you say story?
When people come and they have problems, what they're telling me is that I screwed up, I'm divorced, I'm a failure.
The identity they're hugging? Is that
yes.
What? Okay, so their story.
Yes. Their story is what their identity. And the more the story, and the more they tell the story, it takes them further away from who they are. It doesn't bring them closer to who they are.
Do you think that almost everybody's capable of really moving to this open hearts? I mean, this is a... Sandy, we've got a lot of people out here.
Absolutely.
That are broken.
We've got a lot of people broken because we got a lot of people not understanding who they are.
Really? That's it?
I absolutely believe that.
Wow.
I do. So going back to the process, yes, first you got to realize the hole's there. Then you got to realize you keep falling in the hole. Then you have to learn how to climb out of the hole and stay out of the hole. And how do you do that? You clear what created the hole to begin with.
And that's achievable.
I believe it's achievable. I have many clients that think it's achievable. I have a lot of people living from it, and I have a lot of people experiencing joy and love in their life, and now they're willing to learn through love. I mean, you know, we can learn through pain. There's no one here that can't learn through pain, but we can learn even more through love.
Okay, my dear, we are going to come back, and you're going to tell us about learning through love. Right now, what I need to do, folks, is to tell you how you can be in touch with Sandy and her organization. You will be told again at the end of the show, but as you know, through my show, through KBOO here, you can't really make contact with my guest. Two things. Core Essence has a novel spelling. And what does core in this spelling mean?
It means heart.
Oh, very nice. Is it French?
It is.
Okay. Spelling of this first website, CoeurEssence.com. Core, it's what it, heart is. It's what heart is in French. Yes.
Yes.
CoeurEssence.com. That's the first one, folks. The other one, you really will probably enjoy this other one as much or more because it talks about these tools and this journey that Sandy's telling us today, and that is www.28daystoopenyourheart.com. 28 days to open your heart.com. And on there you can make contact, you can communicate with Sandy. Sandy, you respond to people on these sites, yes?
I do.
There you are, folks. So you're welcome. You can make contact with Sandy and carry on from here. Okay, we're going to also want to know, by the end of the show, please, help me remember, any kind of workshops, where you offer them, where you go in
Perfect.
The country, where people can go in a context. You do offer also in-person training, yes?
I do. We are not training people at this point. We do have people that we are working with, though, in groups.
That's what I mean.
Yes.
Okay. So, and those things will always be announced on the sites?
Always on the sites.
Okay.
And we've
good.
Got lots of exciting things coming up this spring, summer, and fall.
Especially West Coast, yes?
West Coast, East Coast, Chicago. And in next September, we've got a great retreat in Bali.
Holy mackerel, Bali. That sounds like fun.
Yes.
Okay. And towards the end of the show, if you want to, it's okay with me if you want to talk a little bit about those opportunities.
Okay.
Sandy, learning from love. What does that mean? Okay, I know about learning from pain. Okay? I'll give you that much. I know a little about learning from pain. Tell me about learning from love.
You know, it's an insight I actually had about 8 years ago. You know, I'm 59 years old. I've lived a lot of life in a very short time, and it's been a gift. The worst things I've gone through in my life has been the greatest gifts. And
I hate that about life.
I know, but you know, it's just shifting our perception just a little bit.
I'm a brat. I know. I'm a whiner.
And I was struggling through some stuff a few years ago within myself, and I noticed me being really hard on myself. And I told my husband, Ron, it's like, oh, my God, I am having to live everything I teach, everything I've written about, everything I've talked about again. And that's called humility. That's good for all of us. But when I realized, I was sitting on the couch, that's my sitting on the couch time again, and I realized, yes, I can learn this lesson, and it can be hard and painful, but what if I was willing to learn it through love? What if tomorrow morning when I got out of bed, before my feet hit the floor, I declared, I am open to receive all the good that's coming to me today? So I tried it, and it worked. Within 3 days, I broke through the issue. I understood what was going on. I understood what my part was. I understood what was hooking. And then all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute, we can learn through pain? And yes, we can learn through love.
Okay, so what do you mean? You just invited loving experiences?
I was willing to open and receive it. I mean, one thing my son told me is, Mama, there's nothing but love. And I go, if that's true, I don't know if it's true. I mean, I haven't crossed over. When I do, maybe if I can come back, I'll let everyone know. Or maybe I won't want to come back. But the thing is, if that were true, that's all I was willing to do, is open to the possibility that that was truth. Then what was this pain I was hanging on to? What was that all about? Instead of spending years or maybe 2 months processing it, I just decided to declare, I'm open and willing to receive all the good. And if there's something for me that I need to see, bring it on. Because, you know, I want to clear this stuff out of myself. I mean, I want to be a vessel to be used to help people. I mean, what drives me is for people to know who they are so they can give up who they're not. Well, any residual, I still got that with me. I have to look at that and clean that within myself, because what would I have to offer you if I've not done the work myself?
Okay, so what people are. There must be some universal common ground, right? Because
yes.
You always hear this, we all are one, we're the one, we're the same.
I know.
So what are people?
What are people?
Okay, we're not pain.
Yeah.
But boy, I tell you what, that's the game that's playing.
I'll tell you, they're not people. They're more than people. They're a soul, they're a spirit. And I know there's so much talk out there right now about soul, spirit, be one. It's just like overload. And people are going, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just coming in every way and form. But my process is not about going in. It's about turning around and bringing the attention going back in. And so everything I do is about self-inquiry. And what I realize with clients, and I've worked with people for 26 years, so this is proven to be true backwards and forwards, is that when I can present it and help them open to see it in a different light, and then ask them the question for them to find their own truth, they always knew what the answer is. And I've yet to never not have that happen.
Wow. And is this on the level of being? They become...
They're literally tapping into their being. We could call it heart. You know, everyone can understand heart essence. They get that.
Okay.
Actually, when I opened Core Essence, it was actually C-O-R-E. Because it had come to me is that what I wanted to do is teach people who they were so they could give up who they're not. Well, then the core is the unchanging nature of you are, and essence is the essence that you are.
Very good.
You know? So...
Very good. So... A lot of talk about open heart. In fact, let's spend a couple of minutes. The 28 days to open your heart.
Yes.
This is like the main thrust of your work. This is also the workshops you do?
It has been this full, for 2 years, that's been my full focus.
Okay. Tell us a little about that then.
Well, it's to offer a process of not only one, what does that look like, but then to literally offer them a roadmap to take step by step. Look, I think people understand on some level that they're not all bad. But they don't know how to access the good, and they don't understand once they do what to do with it, because they're still in the same mindset that they have to do something with it, right?
Right.
So what we've done is created 28 days of a real gentle breakdown.
Kind of a breakdown
of helping them understand first what is the reason they're experiencing. Two, give them some tools to practice each day for 28 days. You know, it takes 21 days to do a change a habit. So 28 days is kind of like a full circle so they can actually implement that new understanding. And a lot of my work is Helping people break through, that's one thing. That's actually the easy part. But then how do they live?
That's the easy
because part? Because it's on learning everything that they've learned.
Oh, unlearning. Wow. Unlearning. Help me with that. Unlearning.
Okay. One thing Elizabeth taught me, which was really sweet, she said to me, Sandy, if you have anger that lasts more than 15 seconds, it's all learned anger. At that stage, I was angry 99.9% of the time. But I thought that was a pretty profound thing to say to me, going, wait a minute. So if my anger lasts longer than 15 seconds, it's all learned? So I started some self-exploratory inquiry for myself to really understand what was my anger all about. Hurt, pain, messages being told I wasn't worthy, who did I think I was, a lot of projection that I was selfish if I wanted to love myself, care for myself, do good things for myself. You know, if you're a beautiful soul of light and love, and you come in, and that's who you are. If you look at a baby, they only know how to be.
Amen.
They don't come in with all that low self-worth.
Performance anxiety.
Yeah, you got it. So it's all learned. So it's helped them unlearn those things. Unlearn not only what the impressions were that were imprinted on them, but helping them realize that when they come up with a situation in life, when someone brushes up against that, what they're reacting to is that wound or that thorn in their side, not actually the other person. I mean, one of the concepts that really is hard for people to understand is the only person you ever experience is only yourself.
Wow. Say that again.
The only person you ever experience is only yourself.
Wow.
So when we're experiencing someone in a loving way, we're making them responsible. When in reality, we're giving ourselves permission to experience ourselves as love with them.
Wow. Okay, that's another whole show.
It is.
Folks, now what Sandy was saying there, you heard her quickly pass over that reference. Sandy worked with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, Dr. Kubler-Ross. Some of you may know these incredible, intensive, life-changing intensives she used to provide for people over a week, 4 or 5 days. So Sandy now leads intensives. Why don't you tell us a little bit, because we're almost out of time, before I announce the sites again.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about how they can participate, either online or in person. How does that work?
Great. Well, I still work with one-on-one people, so if they'd like to book a private session, they can write me through the website. We offer the 28-day challenges. We will be having one launch just later this month in March. And we also travel. When I say we, I have a now partner, Laura, and we can talk about her sometime. Laura and I have teamed up writing the challenges together. And then we also have teleseminars and webinars that they can actually do. And by the way, the 28-day course is an online course people can do from their home.
Very good. Okay, so folks, we're running down on time here. I want to emphasize, Sandy, thank you, dear.
You're welcome.
Very
thank
nice to
you,
have
Tom.
You today. So folks, to connect, to follow on, coreessence.com, spelled CoreEssence.com. And then, of course, the specifics of that program are www.28daystoopenyourheart.com. Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you, Tom. It was great to be here.
So, folks, for Pathways, this is Tom Park. We'll be back next Sunday morning. And, of course, I want to thank our sponsors, divination.com. Folks, you can always go over there and have a little fun on that site with those divination tools. We always appreciate their constant support. Thank you. See you next Sunday morning.
By KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Divination Foundation.
Yes, join us again next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another installment in the wonderful series of views and interviews as heard on the program Pathways. Stay tuned now for the Dutch Hour at Hollands Uurtje.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Divination Foundation.
This is KBOO Portland 90.7 on your FM dial. Daar zijn ze weer, die vertrouwde klanken van een pyramid ergens op de gracht, ergens in Holland. En dat betekent maar één ding, het is weer tijd voor het Hollands uurtje. Zondagmorgen zonder zorgen. Ik heet Charles, ik doe dit elke 2 weken. En het is gezellig jullie erbij te hebben. Nou, dat draaiorgel dat je daar hoort, dat komt terug later in de show. Want ik heb nog heel wat muziek met dat instrument. Maar eerst beginnen we maar met een serenade aan Holland zelf. Later gaan we iets vertellen over Italiaanse muziek en de Italian Hour. Maar eerst beginnen we met een echt Hollands liedje. En het wordt hier mooi gedaan door een groot koor. En het heet heel eenvoudig: Ik hou van Holland.